combos. We've rated and ranked these, and we've been going through a few of these. The last one that we just went through was the Gordon Schweppes and Lemon Wedge that Moss brought in, and that was a 4 rating for that. So we had a lot of interesting discussions in preparation for this episode, and Sparky asked me a question about something I did not know to do with quinine specifically and with tonic water.
Yeah, so if you take tonic water and shine a black light through it, you can find how many crimes have been committed with substances all over the... something else entirely. Sorry. No, but if you shine a black light through tonic water, the amount of quinine is proportional to how much it fluoresces. So a brand with a lot of quinine will light up, like, you know, incredibly bright. And it's... And in some cases, it is completely backwards. You would think that some of these premium brands have more quinine in them, and that's not necessarily the case. So fungal science experiment you can do on your own is to get a couple of tonic waters and pour them into a glass, turn off the lights, and shine a black light through it.
I think you'd have to have the right kind of music. I was thinking it would be like a 70 funks, you know, kind of sound, but, you know, it either way. Sounds like a lot of fun and an interesting, entertaining moment for sure. You know, I love what Moss said. He said, "What if I had to do a blood draw? They would my blood would be glowing in the dark with under the black light."
Look, I'm a blunt guy. I don't know what to say.
I hope they don't make that part of a sobriety test. You know, for drinking. You know, stare into this black light. Whoa, man, look at that.
And I don't know if you guys remember this, but I was deeply impacted it during the COVID pandemic when people were doing just crazy stuff. There was a hot moment about the time when people were starting to take horse dewormer. Somehow there was a rumor out there that quinine or a similar chemical compound could help you stop getting COVID. So like you could not buy, people were just going in buying all the tonic water, and it was total BS. But I was deeply affected by that because I needed that almost as much as toilet paper, and you just could not get tonic water for a minute because it was one of the crazy conspiracy.
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah,
that is crazy. Well, I have the last product we're going to get to go over on today's episode, which is Plymouth Navy with Whole Foods 365 Tonic, and a little change up with the garnish, which is a half wedge of lime squeezed with a lemon twist. So I'll tell you all about this. You know, I've probably used Plymouth longer than any other gin. You know, I've definitely had more beef eater by volume, hands down, easily. You know, but in terms of, you know, drinking gin, I've probably been, you know, drinking Plymouth longer than a lot of the other brands we've been talking about today. The Navy version just meets my standard because it's actually very alcohol forward.
I was going to say, because it has more booze in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Why? You know, I can put water in myself. I don't need any help from the distillery. So Plymouth actually needs some sugar to kind of lay down and relax. And so I always kind of know that when I'm walking into working, you know, with that gin, especially in a cocktail, that I'm like, I got to have something that's going to, you know, chill this out. I found of all the tonics that work really well with this is actually the Whole Foods 365 tonic water. It's a little bit on the sweeter side in terms of, you know, the tonics. And I really love the overall quality of that particular tonic water. I really find they use a lot of natural products as they do in a lot of whole food brands. But that particular tonic water, I thought was really the thing that worked exceptionally well with the Plymouth Navy. I actually prefer this with cheese and crackers, a good Havarti, a great Midnight Moon, a queso manchego, a PDO from Pondini Exports. I think I just had a food orgasm right there. Yeah. So, you know, those simple lemon rind oils actually kind of complete the ambiance, you know, around this. And I just want to put up the sign that says, I'm not available. I'm having one of these. So, you know, it sounds a little bit like a bit more work, but I think you'll be rewarded if you do this combo just like I described it. Moss, what do you think about this?
I mean, you really can't go wrong with it. And I think, Mike, you had said this earlier. It's really an evening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You get that higher proof. And then, you know, especially with that tonic in there, it's already a little bit sweeter.
I always watch Jeopardy with a gin and tonic nearly every day.
I see why you want the handles now. I get the size of the bottle thing. There's a lot of Jeopardy episodes
after,
out there.
After a whole day of drinking, there I am, sitting down, you know, with some moment. Yeah, it's really weird.
One of the things that I liked about your attention to using a specific amount of lime and a specific amount of lemon is I think a lot of people get locked in with just, oh, well, a Negroni has to have this, or a gin and tonic has to have this. Mix up your fruits a little bit. Try your cocktails with different citruses. It does change the profile quite a bit. And sometimes you'd be shocked how just switching from a lemon to a lime can make all the difference in the world.
Well, and I think that, you know, one of the things I've learned from Mike's books is that you really have to make cocktails for your nose. And you're so good at describing aromatics and introducing them in the recipes that are in a lot of your books. I think that's what I've done here is that I've intentionally said, do not forget the lemon twist on this.
Oh, yeah. And I think it makes a ton of sense because lemon and lime go so well together. They should be used together more often. Like you could make a great gimlet especially with Plymouth Navy. If you use a little lemon juice and a little lime juice, you could make a really big, expressive, bold cocktail.
That's how I make my Jack Roses.
Nice. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think I wrote in one of my books, I think it was Garden of Glass, that Plymouth Navy answers the prayer of, gosh, I love Plymouth gin so much, I just wish it was a little stronger. There you go. It's perfect.
Asked and answered.
Yeah.
I've probably made more retailers put it back on the shelf after they sell it out. They forget to buy it again. I don't know why. I'm like, you know, dude, seriously, the reason why it's not on the shelf is because everybody bought it.
So, and another reason why you need the 3-liter size. Yeah. Got it.
Well, our sips rating here for the Plymouth Navy Whole Foods Tonic and Half Wedge and Lemon Twist is going to be a 3 out of 5. So, well, that's going to be the last product we're going to get to go through on today's episode. But I would love to hear about your combos. Have you come up with another combo that you like that we didn't talk about today? But I think that this represented a nice broad stretch of, you know, choices. So don't make that blind, you know, choice. You know, think about, you know, and don't get stuck with one. You know, I probably go through at least 6 different recipes. So, yeah, for sure. Did you guys have fun?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And no malaria.
Now. I'll have another one.
Yeah. Lots of fun. Take cocktail rituals for $300, Alex.
For sure.
I'll take anal bum cover for $500.
I don't have a handle on anything I brought today. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming today and joining me for this episode. Good old boy Sparky, thanks for coming, man.
And if you'll just sign off on this form for my parole officer, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
He only had 3. Yes, check. Good old boy Michael, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. Can I take out the Plymouth Navy Strength IV, or should I leave? I'll leave it in for
you. You should just leave it
in.
Leave
that in.
Okay.
Moss, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. And who do I give the black light back to?
You should keep that, man.
Take it home. It's fun.
Hey, enjoy anything from our back catalog. Hundreds and hundreds of other products that we got to review and some other entertaining moments on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I will ask you to join us for another episode and to keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Luntan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
me just wanna let go and be by myself. Staying in with a memory so soft that it spills, the twitch of the leg that
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Sports are a big part of many kids' lives, but climate change is disrupting their ability to play. In a survey by the Aspen Institute, U.S. parents reported that their kids missed an average of 7 days of practices and competitions in 2024 due to extreme and changing weather conditions. For example, extreme heat or wildfire smoke can make it unsafe to play outside. Heavy rain can flood fields, and a major storm can wipe out facilities.
Goals, nets, balls can also be completely threatened in the event of an incident of extreme weather.
Jessica Murphy is an assistant professor in the Department of Exercise and Sports Science at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She says college and professional teams may have the resources to quickly recover after extreme weather. But that's often not the case for youth sports teams.
We don't see these organizations rebuild or relocate in the same way we do at the higher levels.
And community sports programs, which provide affordable access to athletics, often have the hardest time recovering. So as the climate warms, some kids may have fewer opportunities to play and compete. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
If you see me from your room, you